This is the audio portion of WTAW's Merrill Award Overall Excellence Entry. First, the newscast from November 25th, 2022 at 6:05 a.m.
WTAW News Time is 5 minutes after 6. It's 58 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Chelsea Reber. Bryan's new mayor takes office while there is a stalemate over a new contract with the firefighters union.
When the firemen are asking for something like that, you have to stop. You have to kind of take a look around and see what's going on.
Speaking on our show, Bobby Gutierrez brought up the union wanting free health insurance, which is something that is not available to any of City of Bryan employees.
You can't do for one department and not do for another.
Gutierrez brought up the city employees' effort during the heat of last summer's drought.
Those are the real heroes that nobody knows anything about that work to keep our water, to keep our sewer, to keep all that stuff going. They would like free health care too.
City Manager Keene Register told WTW News earlier this month, if there is no agreement with the firefighters union by the end of the year, then he will negotiate a contract with the fire chief. Before last week's Bryan City Council vote, bringing in a movie theater and bowling alley to Midtown Park, the park's primary opponent was escorted out of the building for being disruptive. 3 days later, he returned to council where he was applauded.
Former Mayor Andrew Nelson, who instituted a policy that public speakers had to address an agenda item, gave Patrick Giamalva permission to speak his mind.
It's my honor to hear you one more time here tonight.
And I just really wanted to say, really thank all of y'all for what a great job y'all have done. And just having to put up with me and listen.
Giamalva recently lost his bid to become a Bryan councilman, and before that, he lost an attempt to unseat Nelson as mayor.
And thank God that I didn't win the election, because I'd have to be on that side listening to somebody like me, and I really...
Giamalva then thanked each member of the council and individual members of city staff. Bill Oliver, 1620-94.5 WTAW.
There was a public challenge to the city of College Station participating in the Texas Municipal League during the city council's first November meeting. Councilman Dennis Maloney, whose request to support the TML's legislative goals was unanimously approved, defended the city's relationship with the statewide organization following city issues in Austin.
It is a lobbying group that's supported by the municipalities so that the municipalities don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to have their own in-house staff member to deal with the 4,000 to 6,000 legislative bills that come into session every 2 years down in Austin, Texas.
The highest priority from 7 pages of TML goals during the upcoming legislative session is defeat anything that is detrimental to cities, even if it means sacrificing beneficial bills. There will be no student bonfire north of Bryan this year. Social media from the Independent Student Bonfire Organization posted that the cancellation is due to conditions on the new stack site and forecasted weather. The statement also pointed out that they honor their reputation over the last 20 years for safety and accountability. Organizers plan to provide opportunities to see the completed stack and have a delayed burn. WTAW News Time is 8 minutes after 6. It's 58 degrees. More news at 6:30 or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber for 1620-94.5 WTAW.
Next, examples of beat coverage from the Bryan and College Station City Councils and from Texas A&M University. Last night's Bryan City Council meeting was the first since last month's untimely death of Councilman Flynn Adcock. All 6 councilmen paid tribute to Adcock's service. Here's Brent Hairston.
I got to tell you, it's a little emotional sitting by an empty chair here.
From Ruben Marine.
Flynn was just an incredible guy. I mean, just always joyful and just happy and just so full of life.
From Bobby Gutierrez.
The impact that our friend Flynn had on not only us as friends and not only us as councilmen, but on the city, through, you know, BTU, through the Parks Board, through all the different numerous things that he served on. I served with him for many years at the Republican Party. He was a precinct chair. We went to conventions together. He was always fun to be around.
Last night's meeting began with a moment of silence, and a state flag that flew over the state capitol was presented to Adcock's wife, Donna. 4 members of the Bryan City Council criticized former councilman and mayoral candidate Mike Sutherland for saying the police department's being defunded. Comments at the end of last night's council meeting included the newest member, James Edge.
I'm going to publicly call for Mr. Sutherland to apologize to the Bryan City Council. And I would also call on Mr. Sutherland to apologize to the Bryan Police Department.
From Mayor Andrew Nelson.
I want to thank Chief Buskey for being so apolitical, because when you refuse to get involved in politics, it makes your voice that much stronger when you come out and publicly rebuke someone like Mike Sutherland who lied.
Puppy Simic and Prentice Madison also made comments. The final meeting for former Bryan Mayor Andrew Nelson included making an exception to his policy on public speakers. Nelson, arguably the strongest supporter of converting the former municipal golf course to Midtown Park, let the strongest opponent, Patrick Giamalva, have the floor without speaking about a specific agenda item.
You know what, Patrick? I think for one time, letting you break the rules actually worked out well for everybody. So thank you. Thank you, sir. And my mother is in the house, so I appreciate you kept it rated G tonight. Good job.
Giamalva thanked each member of the council and individual members of city staff.
Mayor Nelson, I just, I owe you a beer. You know, all the trouble I've given you.
Three.
That's right. Three.
Giamalva's thanks came after the meeting when Nelson had Giamalva escorted out of the building for being disruptive before the council approved adding a movie theater and bowling alley at Midtown Park. Bill Oliver, 1620, 94.5 WTAW. College Station's police chief told the city council at their last meeting that officers respond to between 12 and 1,500 party calls a year. It was part of a discussion that was requested by Councilwoman Linda Harville, who was among residents in the neighborhood south of the Texas A&M campus, where more than 200 people attended a private outdoor concert.
I think at some point in time, we're going to need to take our permanent residents into consideration. That concerns me that somebody can have that kind of a private party and there's no regulations other than they're supposedly supposed to stop at 10 o'clock at night, which we know that doesn't happen either.
City Manager Brian Woods brought up issues in changing the city's noise ordinance.
The chief kind of mentioned, you know, the private promotion thing. I tell you, I think I echo the concerns as to how enforceable something like that is. The challenge is for us and certainly is really in your purview is what is the restriction that you want to put on it?
After the nearly 20-minute discussion, no direction was given by any council members on changing current regulations. College Station City Council members listened for 30 minutes last night to public speakers seeking a rental inspection ordinance. At the end of the meeting, a unanimous council agreed to hold a workshop. Zach Wiggenbotham says he's still paying for renting what he called a luxury apartment because he does not want to give up his legal rights after 14 months of being exposed to toxic mold.
I can barely function. My body's gone just completely haywire. And I don't want the next person who has serious health issues to move in and deal with that.
Alice Rosenlock says she's a first-time renter who is scared.
I don't know how to properly inspect for mold or the pile of bird feces that's been growing for the past few months in the hall. It's a huge barrier to getting any of these problems solved.
Texas A&M Student Senate on Wednesday night passed a resolution supporting rental inspections. College Station City Manager tells the City Council voluntary water conservation efforts are not working.
We had the highest water use day in our history this week, and we've had three of the top 5 days in our history in this past month.
Brian Woods also responded to Councilwoman Linda Harville's question about the city's water scheduling.
And I've heard from multiple people that the city is watering during the course of the day.
I have too.
And I know that we've got a lot of green space, but how are you addressing that watering schedule?
So we backstop a little bit from the standpoint of we try and water on times when other folks aren't.
City staff told Woods that recycled water is being used on ball fields at Veterans Park. Opponents to Texas A&M's president telling the Battalion student newspaper to end print editions by the end of the spring semester include student body president Natalie Parks.
Myself and fellow student leaders have witnessed and been on the receiving end of these patterns of unnecessary administrative oversight into areas that have functioned for decades without the influence of executive orders, demands for immediate levels of significant change, without consultation of key stakeholders, those stakeholders being the students.
Park spoke at yesterday's faculty senate meeting, joining Speaker Dale Rice, who is a journalism associate professor.
I have heard from many of our faculty colleagues in the past 4 days, and the emotions range from outrage to fear. Outrage over what seems to many like a pattern aimed at quashing dissenting voices and diverse viewpoints on campus.
President Catherine Banks also told battalion staff to join an expanded journalism department and end its operation as a student organization. Construction starts next month on some of Texas A&M Athletics' $235 million expansion project. The June starts for indoor buildings for Aggie football and track. Before the Board of Regents gave the green light, the system's chief facilities officer, Brett McCauley, was asked if they can stay within their budget.
The indoor track facility is being brought in at its original budget, same with Kyle Field Suites.
The system's vice chancellor for business affairs, Philip Ray, then spoke at length about how they'll deal with inflation and supply chain issues.
When we talk about buyouts, we're buying out, you know, electrical, all the things, masonry, all the things that we look at, it's better than I expect. The key to it is competition. The key to it is the relationships that we have, the contractors that want to partner with us, the ones we want to partner with, those are the ones that we're able to make some real progress on.
After the next football season, construction starts on new Aggie football practice fields and 25 new Kyle Field Suites at the south end of the stadium. There will be no tuition increase at all 11 Texas A&M System universities next fall and the following spring.
When you have a possibility of a recession coming on and not too great of times, with inflation in particular, we didn't think it was a good time to hit families with increases.
Chancellor John Sharp says each university will manage their costs. What's been the reaction of your university presidents?
Fine. Hardly no negative reaction at all.
Sharp also gave credit to state elected officials who appropriated more money last year for higher education. Texas A&M President Catherine Banks spent more than an hour fielding questions from the university's faculty senate. First question was whether administrators recognize the stress employees and students have had since her reorganization of the university.
I think I can unequivocally say that we all respect and are very appreciative of the time, effort, and energy that the faculty community has spent on the MGT path forward changes.
Banks was also asked about budget changes as a result of her reorganization.
We're evaluating our budgeting process now. Faculty Senate has a representative on the committee that will assess the current budgeting model. I was just talking to John Crawford, the CFO, about that. He believes we may have a plan of action by the summer, but we wouldn't implement it in year one. We probably have some sort of phased approach over a two-year period.
Regarding personnel matters, the president plans to begin searches for a permanent provost and a dean of the College of Architecture next spring. And next spring will be an assessment of the selection process with the dean of A&M's new College of Arts and Sciences. Next are examples of other stories produced by WTAW News in 2022.
Amazon is one step closer to starting its drone package delivery service in College Station. Tim Neely, the city's business development manager, says the Federal Aviation Administration looked at numerous factors during its final environmental assessment.
Environmental impacts, pollution, climate, noise, light, historical archaeology, land use, and a lot of other factors as well.
Neely says the FAA found no significant impact in the assessment, allowing Amazon to move forward in the process. Read the full report at WTAW.com.
For the first time in 3 years, a trade delegation from Belgium is in Aggieland.
Adieu.
Philippe LaChapelle with the Export and Investment Agency in the Belgian province of Wallonia says two more companies plan to locate in the Brazos Valley.
We have in this delegation around 10 companies because we want to go deeper into things, and you can only do that with the scarce resources on both sides to organize things by bringing a small amount of companies.
The relationship between the Wallonia delegation and the Brazos Valley Economic Development Corporation goes back to 2009. After being diagnosed with lymphoma last summer, former Texas A&M head football coach R.C. Slocum is now cancer-free.
It was a nagging cough that alerted R.C. Slocum and his wife that something might be wrong. The former football coach tried to tough it out, but eventually his wife convinced him to see a doctor. Within days, Slocum was diagnosed and began his journey to beat cancer.
If you do have a problem, the sooner the diagnosis, the better the chance you have to get a successful outcome. And so that would be a lesson I'd say to try. Don't neglect your health. And especially with the COVID thing, I think a lot of people have done that.
It took 12 rounds of chemotherapy and the support of his loved ones in the community for Slocum to beat cancer. During a visit with local media, Slocum remembered the visits from his golf buddies.
I would tell them, if I could be out there where you guys are, playing golf on a pretty day with my buddies, making double bogey would not be nearly as important as y'all make it out to be. And so now I'm back trying to play, and they said, they reminded me of that statement. Don't worry about the double bogey. I said, I'm not. I'm happy to be out here.
Slocum emphasized maintaining a healthy weight, not smoking, and making your health a priority. Listen to his entire visit with reporters online at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber for 1620 94.5 WTAW.
Bryan police respond to a home near Neal Recreation Center where three adults and an 11-year-old were hit by paintballs.
The victims in this case had no idea who these suspects were that were shooting them with paintball guns.
Officer Cole Taylor says two vehicles were stopped and 13 teenagers were arrested on charges of organized criminal activity.
It just kind of means that all of these people were acting together to commit some kind of offense.
The victims were not seriously injured. Five 16-year-olds were taken to juvenile detention. Eight 17- and 18-year-olds were taken to the Brazos County Jail. Next is a sampling of WTAW's coverage of local politics during the 2022 primary and general elections. We begin with a segment of one of the candidate forums moderated by WTAW, Scott DeLucia.
City Council, looking at two different types of housing, shared housing and middle housing. I'd like for you to discuss your view of those and how far this council has moved with that.
Yes, we have had buildings built in the single-family neighborhoods that were designed to house more than six people or six-plus people, but we had no way of saying you can't do that because clearly somebody that has six kids needs six bedrooms. So now the design is going to be considered in an administrative discussion as to whether this is shared housing or whether this is a private home.
That illegal structure that you're talking about was approved by the city of College Station. They knowingly approved that.
They approved it because we had no choice.
What do you mean you had no choice?
It is the structure, the design. It had six bedrooms in it. We had no legal authority to tell a applicant that you can't build a house with six bedrooms.
But now you're going to penalize those people because you want to change the rules.
No. They were still under a no more than four unrelated restriction. And they chose to build a house with six bedrooms and six baths.
How do you allow that to happen? Knowingly, you allow that to happen.
Scott, we had no legal authority before the shared use definition came along to tell an applicant that they could not build a house with six bedrooms and six baths.
Because that was a poorly written ordinance that the city
That's just the nature of housing. We had no. That's why we have now come to the point where we have found a way to define the shared housing, and we will have a structure to adjudicate: is that housing for private use for a family, or is that housing designed specifically to host more than four unrelated? And if it is, then it won't be approved by the administrator.
I'd like to go on, but I can't. We need to move on. Okay.
Coverage also included special questions that were and were not included on the ballot for the November 2022 general election. College Station City Council members have finalized a more than $90 million bond package for voters to consider this November. College Station voters will decide five separate requests. Council members spent most of their time during a special meeting yesterday deciding which of three sports and tourism options voters will consider. A unanimous council chose a $30 million package, adding ball fields at the new Texas Independence Ballpark and renovating fields at Veterans Park. Parks and Recreation Director Stephen Wright said the primary goal is to get as many fields as possible.
Anything less than eight would be quite a challenge for us to attract regional or national play.
College Station voters will be asked to finance $22 million in parks improvements and redevelopment, $18 million to build Fire Station Number 7, $16 million to widen Rock Prairie Road from Baylor Scott & White Hospital to Fitch, and almost $4 million to build a new pool at Thomas Park. A unanimous College Station ISD school board decides to ask voters to decide if employees get a second pay raise this school year. If approved, a TRE or tax ratification election will decrease CSISD's property tax rate by about 4 cents instead of almost 7 cents. Joshua Ben brought up hearing two valid points, that property taxes are too high and teachers don't get paid enough.
I think this puts in the hands of the voters of College Station ISD to make this decision. What's more important? Is it lowering the tax rate, that additional 3 cents, or is it generating this extra millions of dollars in income and revenue to properly begin to pay our teachers and our staff?
Board President Jeff Hork noted the timing of last night's vote.
We've got to catch up. We've got to pay our teachers. They're working their rear ends off, and we're about to start tomorrow. So this is the way to make that happen and give it an opportunity.
If voters approve the TRE, CSISD administrators would receive an additional 2%, and everyone else another 4%. That's in addition to a 2% increase that was previously approved. Voters in College Station ISD will not be asked this November to consider a second time a bond issue where most of the money will go towards renovating and expanding the consolidated high school fieldhouse. The $5.5 million project, which failed by a 5% margin last November, would have provided adequate space for sports medicine and bring the Consol Fieldhouse to a comparable level with College Station High School. CSISD Communications Director Chuck Glenwinkel tells WTAW News they have, quoting, moved past that for the time being. The decision was made after the CSISD School Board in June reviewed a gathering of last November's bond committee and the results of a telephone survey that was done in May. The survey indicated strong support by 32% and strong opposition by 29% of the 300 who were contacted. No board members at the June meeting expressed support for a November election. Administrators are asked to research the cost of a special election next May. Brazos County voters will be deciding in the upcoming election whether to increase vehicle registration fees $10 to help fund local transportation projects. County commissioners today approved a resolution supporting Proposition B. Before the unanimous vote, commissioners heard from an opponent, former commission candidate and former Curtin Mayor Ronnie Vituli.
The problem is, if anyone believes these projects will be completed with the $1.6 million this $10 fee would generate, to quote George Strait, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona I want to sell you.
Commissioner Nancy Berry says money from increased registration fees will go towards getting future road projects ready to be bid.
Basic costs of doing environmental studies, doing an engineering study of where you relocate utilities if need be.
County commissioners are also asking voters to approve Proposition A. That's a $100 million bond issue to be spent on roads, highways, and bridges. Not only were there candidates and special questions, there was also debate about where to vote. Brazos County commissioners are told that it's too late to move this November's early voting back to Texas A&M's Memorial Student Center. During this morning's meeting, County Clerk Kara McLean said federal election laws does not give them enough time to change voting locations and get ballots sent to voters serving in the military and working overseas.
Even if you did it, you still have to post notice for 48 hours, and you have to have them ready to go by Friday.
Commissioner Nancy Berry, who supported moving early voting from the MSC to College Station City Hall, supported returning to the MSC next year.
And I am sorry that I made the mistake when I did, and I apologize, but I think we need to move forward.
While a majority of the public speakers are A&M students, there was also a reference to the more than 25,000 full-time employees that work on the flagship campus who will also be affected. Election night coverage included 13 interviews. Here are excerpts from two of them. Defeating an incumbent on the Bryan School Board was Leo Gonzalez. WTAW's Bill Oliver brought up Gonzalez as chairman of Bryan's Planning and Zoning Commission, opposing the school district's rezoning request where to locate a new building.
And now you're joining the school board in.
It's really the school board's a little concerned, I think, about having the chairman of planning and zoning on the school board. But I think that can only be a positive. Had we had better communication between the school district and the city, we would not have gotten this crossways as we did, and there wouldn't have been the hurt feelings and the surprise, and quite frankly, mistakes were made on both sides.
Are you going to continue on P&Z while being on the school board?
Yes, sir, I am. We are allowed to do both. We had our city attorney check into that before I decided to run. So, yes, sir, I am. I do plan on staying on as chairman of planning and zoning and working on the school board.
Here's an Election Day recap from WTAW News. Elected Bryan Mayor Bobby Gutierrez. Elected to the Bryan City Council Paul Torres by 13 votes, along with Ray Arrington, Jared Silvato, and Kevin Bariski. There will be a runoff for the SMD 5 spot between Marker Ewer Shirtliff and A.J. Reynolds. Elected to the Bryan School Board, Leo Gonzalez and David Stasny. In College Station being elected, John Nichols as mayor, and to the College Station Council, Mark Smith, William Wright, and Bob Yancey. There will be a runoff for the contested seat in College Station ISD between Kimberly McAdams and Morgan Mangum. Elected to Brazos County positions, Wanda Watson is Precinct 4 Commissioner, Terrence Nunn is JP Precinct 2, Daryl Booker is JP Precinct 4. Among special questions, Brazos County voters supporting a $100 million road bond issue while turning down a $10 increase in vehicle registration fees for additional transportation projects. College Station City voters approving 3 of 5 propositions approving a new fire station, widening Rock Prairie Road East, and a list of park improvements, turning down additions at Veterans and Texas Independence Parks, turning down a new pool at Thomas Park. Voters in College Station ISD voting to approve a tax ratification election to fund additional pay raises. Final and official numbers are online at WTAW.com. Next, one of the interviews during the WTAW Morning Drive program, the Infomaniacs.
Wednesdays, we visit with the mayors. Mayor Bobby Gutierrez up today, but not with us this morning. Mayor Pro Tem James Edge with us. Councilman, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Scott. I'm glad to be here.
Circumstances that caused the mayor to not be here, not an unfortunate situation that I think you probably wanted to address.
Yeah, unfortunately, former Mayor Jason Bianski, who served our city for many, many years, I think 12 years combined with council as well as being on the mayor's in the mayor's job, Jason lost his beloved wife, Tasha, earlier this week. And she's she was by his side throughout the entire term of his job, and she's going to be greatly missed. We want to send our condolences, our thoughts, and our prayers to Jason and his family, and frankly to the entire city of Bryan, who really lost a really bright soul.
Certainly. I ask a new, you're still, even though Mayor Pro Tem, you still would qualify pretty much as a new council member, even though you're the veteran of the group, aside from the mayor. You know, I ask a new councilman in College Station this question the other day, and I'd like to ask it of you, too. You would drive the streets of Bryan as a citizen. Now you drive the streets of Bryan as a council member. Do you look at situations out there differently now than when you were just a citizen?
That's actually a really good question, and the answer is yes. It was every especially in single member district 4, which I represent. You look for litter, you look for code violations, you look for opportunities to whether it be potholes, whether it be economic opportunities, economic development opportunities. You sort of look at things in a different light.
So, I guess we'll take an opportunity now, since you have a complete council, the last slot was filled, and we have a new council member who was sworn in this week.
That's right. Marco Ewers Shurtleff. Thankfully, all the elections are now over with. We can now get down to business. The election season seems like it basically consumed the entire year, and now we've got a full council. We can get down to business. One of those things getting down to business is like I say, we've had a lot of really exciting things happen in the city of Bryan. We just opened the Legends Event Center. The economic development opportunities that came about as a result of that are just in the early stages. So we've got a lot to look forward to in the city of Bryan. There's a lot of positive things on the horizon, and we're really looking forward to getting busy in 2023.
So now, with all the new council members that you have, I guess they have to, you know, if you take a council that normally has some veterans in there, you can do a strategic planning meeting and work forward from there. Do we first need to have a learning curve established with all these new council members? And if so, how does that take place that they become educated in the facets they need to so quickly?
Well, there will be a learning curve, of course, but most of these new council members have served the city in various capacities. I know several of them are on the Planning and Zoning Commission. So they're not exactly rookies. They've been involved in the community. They've been involved in business within the community. So I think we're going to hit the ground running pretty hard, but there will be a little bit of a learning curve. We've got a great staff in the city of Bryan that can assist us with that. And, of course, we've got Mayor Gutierrez has been on council now for 2 years. He's been involved in city government for many years. So we do have a little bit of an intellectual reservoir to draw from, and I'm confident that we're going to move forward in a very positive direction very quickly.
So Bryan's a little different than College Station in that you have some single members districts, and you're one single member representative. When you have something that you want to present that is specific for your district, how do you normally do that so that you can put together priorities? These are the things that I'd like to see done in my district.
Well, we all, every one of us, will have specific projects within our individual single-member districts that we'll want to bring to council. And the good news, we've got a really, really good working relationship with the entire council, and I think everyone intends to both represent their single member districts as well as represent the city as a whole. And we have the opportunity during meetings. We work well enough together. I think we only need to get basically two members to get something put on the agenda. And there's not going to be any problem with this current council in getting that. You know, if there's anyone that I want to work with or that wants to work with me, we can get those things put on the agenda fairly easily. So I'm really looking forward to working together to improve both my district as well as the city as a whole.
Since the last time we talked to the mayor, there's been a change coming at the Brazos Valley Economic Development Corporation. Matt Prochaska is leaving. So you're the first opportunity I've had to talk to a Bryan elected official about that. Talk a little bit about what that relationship is between the entities that make it up and what you think the search will look like for a successor.
Well, we of course I'm sort of out of the loop in this selection process, but I've got a little bit of insight into what's going to take place. Matt did a great job for the Brazos Valley Economic Development Corporation. Sometimes it's a good idea to sort of shake things up and look at things from a different perspective, and I think we have that opportunity now. We're going to conduct, or I say we, the mayors and the county judge, as well as the board of directors, are going to effectively conduct a nationwide search for a new a leader for that organization. They've already hired an interim leader that's going to be, as I understand, he was in the Round Rock area, involved in economic development for many, many years, and he's going to come in and effectively build the organization up as far as the staff is concerned while we're conducting this nationwide search. So we're going to be looking at it basically with a fresh set of eyes, and we're going to be looking at someone that is really, really we're looking for someone that's really, really experienced in the area of economic development, because we've had great momentum.
Is there a timeline associated with that?
I don't believe there's a specific timeline. I think the board, the mayors, and the county judge are going to. I suspect as we move forward into the next year, we're going to be a little bit more serious about putting together that specific timeline. But as I understand it right now, there's not a specific timeline in place.
Flies below the radar of most citizens, but it's really a crucial situation because obviously we have to be out there competing with all other parts of the state and across the country to bring new businesses in here. Anything else on your radar screen this morning?
Well, in addition to the fact that I wanted to congratulate our newest council member, single member district, Five, Marco Ewer Shurtleff. I wanted to wish the citizens of Bryan and College Station, on behalf of the mayor, on behalf of the city councils, on behalf of the staff of the city of Bryan, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We're going to have a rough weekend as far as weather is concerned, and I think I heard PPP mentioned many times, and not from the perspective of getting a check, but I mean plants, pets, and pipes. We need to take care of our pets. We need to bring our plants in. Unfortunately, I'll be doing that most of the day today. And make sure your pipes are wrapped. It's going to be a long period of time below freezing. And I know our cities, both in Bryan and College Station, are preparing for everything that entails. And thankfully, I don't believe we're going to have any precipitation, so it's going to get really cold. But hopefully we won't have the problem with the down power lines and things that we have whenever it's raining and icy. But it's going to be a cold weekend, and I want everyone to hopefully prepare for that, but more importantly, to prepare for a celebration of Christmas and hopefully a transition to a wonderful new year in 2023.
Mayor Pro Tem James Edge, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
And here's one of the 124 episodes from the series WTAW, The First 100 Years.
College Station, Texas, April 24th, 1947. Dick Bolin talking. Here's the latest news from the Associated Press.
Now,
the
WTAW joined with businesses from across the Brazos Valley.
Aggies win 74-72. Here's your rival.
1620 WTAW.
This is WTAW, The First 100 Years. I'm Tom Turbeville. Did you know love has bloomed at WTAW? General Manager Ben Downs met his wife, Lily, through his work here at the station.
I met Lily Peterson while I was on the air at WTAW. I was a DJ, and we also shared an engineering class. She, at the time, was the only girl in engineering, so it was an easy-to-find target. We started dating, and she had no idea that the guy that she was listening to on the radio was the guy that was taking her out on Saturday nights. She got around to ask asking me, so what do you do? You know, we never go out on Friday. I said, well, it's because I'm on the radio. Well, all the pieces came together at that point. And from that point on, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I always had a delivery of a quarter pounder with cheese and a regular order of fries delivered at the radio station. Lily learned early that the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And that was 49 years ago.
And our longtime head engineer, Dusty Dusterhoff, and his wife, Elisa, our longtime business manager, met in our hallways.
Elisa was the office manager at the time. She was single, and I was single, and we met. Our first date was at the livestock show and rodeo, the Robertson County one in Hearn. Went to the fair and got some corn, and next thing you know, not too many years later, we were married. Have been married for 25 years this year.
Yes, there has been love in the air at WTAW, the first 100 years.